This morning's text is from the Gospel of Matthew. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Maybe seated.
All right, so who put out their American flag this week? You ready?
Yeah.
Did you gather a family? Maybe did you grill out a little bit? Some of it, it's too hot to grill maybe.
So.
Did anybody watch any fireworks? If you didn't watch any, did you hear them? Yeah, my neighborhood, everybody gathers, and we have this big open field around near our clubhouse, and everybody gathers and they bring their fireworks. And we have our own spectacular there. It's always an adventure because not all of them go straight up. So you have to be on your toes a little bit. I do remember it was a few years ago. I had to duck behind behind a wall because the cape was coming my way. But you know, all of these are kind of things that we do when we celebrate the 4th, and especially this year as we celebrate the 250th. Anniversary of the founding of our country and the freedoms that we get to enjoy. And there's all kinds of freedoms that we enjoy. And to me, Independence Day just reminds us, and not only the ones that are outlined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, but really about how everything, every nation, every person, every family, institution, we're all held up by something. Our founders understood that for our nation to be established and to remain, that it had to be built upon something. And so those are the things that are outlined in that Declaration and then later in the Constitution. The same in our personal lives, right? We all want freedom. And there's all kinds of freedoms. So the freedoms, again, those outlined that our founding fathers and those involved were involved that gave us. But there's other kinds of freedoms at all times. Freedom from anxiety, maybe, or freedom from guilt, or freedom from fear. We all desire freedom. There's all kinds of freedoms, and none of those stand on their own. They are, they have to rest on something. Which brings me to our game for today is Jenga. If you were with us last week, we kicked off our summer worship series, whereby we're looking at games that maybe we played as kids, and maybe we still play. But how those games can actually point us, we can look to some deeper spiritual truths. And so we started with Candyland last week, and this week I thought it was the perfect game for this weekend is the game Jenga. Because, it's a building block game. If you don't know anything about it, it's a game. It was invented by a British game designer by the name of Leslie Scott was her name. She invented it or came up with it in the early 1970s. And actually it grew from a family game that she played. Her family was in Ghana in Africa, and they played this building block game, and this is kind of evolved from that. And she picked the name Jenga because in Swahili, Kajenga is the name, means to build. And so she came up with this game. She trademarked it in 1983, and it premiered at the London Toy Fair that year. 3 years later, Hasbro picked it up and said, hey, we're going to distribute it. And since then, it has sold over 90 million copies of this game. We own two, so we contribute. But 90 million, and in 2020, it was inducted into Toy Hall of Fame there. So I don't know if you've ever played it, but it consists of 54 blocks. I think we have close to 54 of these in this enlarged version. But the object of the game is to play this. You know, is to take a block. Actually, Jesse's going to help me this morning. So the object of the game is you take a block and you have to remove it and you put it on top. Okay, so that's how you do it. So Jesse decided he's going to go the easy way out.
Yeah, let's have it.
So this one, John, this one actually takes some strategy, okay?
Okay.
All right, good. Candyland, nothing. Jenga is all about, yes, you have to, you're trying to figure out, you got to remove a block without, and so the object is not to let the...
There we go.
Not to let the tower collapse, okay? That's the whole object. So it's not really about winning, it's about not losing. You don't want to be the person who removes a block that causes the tower to collapse. Now, as a staff, we've been playing all week this outside the office. And so you can tell no one's it's yet to collapse. The one there, but that's the kind of, it builds this, you know, it's sort of building this anticipation of what block are we going to remove that's going to cause this thing to fall. Now, that's not what we want to happen today, though, is it? We'll take an easy way out again. That's always the easy one. I know, isn't it, right? Everybody, all right, that's good. We'll leave it like that because we got communion. I don't want to have to clean up again.
Wow.
But, you know, it's here. So when it finally collapses, it's not because, that the final piece, it's all because it's every piece that's being removed up to that point has contributed to the collapse, right? So, you know, it can appear pretty stable, it can appear pretty strong, but every piece that's being removed is contributing to it is its eventual collapse. Until that final piece, you know, it causes that to happen. Because the collapse never, you know, it never begins with the last block. It's every block before it. And it's true, that's true in this game of Jenga, but it's also true in life. Because most collapses that we experience in life, they don't happen overnight.
Right.
A marriage doesn't suddenly collapse. Faith doesn't suddenly disappear, or you know, character doesn't suddenly erode. It's often a result of small compromises, or misplaced priorities, or neglected disciplines. So what can appear to be strong really is becoming more and more unstable until it does collapse. So our question for us today is really simple. This is, so what is it that's holding us up? It's a question that Jesus basically asked in this story that he tells that's contained within what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Now, most scholars would say that, okay, Jesus didn't preach this all as one long sermon. But Matthew collected all of his teachings and he presented it as such. And so we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things he taught was this story that Mary read just a few moments ago.
Right.
Kind of the story of two houses being built. And what's interesting, both houses they look to be fine at first. Both builders work hard. Both builders build good houses. They stand upright. They appear to be successful. They appear to be stable.
Now,
nothing looks different between the two houses on a sunny ditch. It's only until the storm comes that the difference appears, doesn't it? Jesus says, the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. The same thing happens to both houses. The rains fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. So both houses experienced the same storm.
Oh.
The faithful builder experiences the storm. The foolish builder experiences the storm. The follower of Jesus gets storms. The one who ignores Jesus
gets storms as well.
Why? Because storms, they are a part of life, aren't they? All of us experience our own storms, and they can be anything from, you know, a bad prognosis we get from the doctor to losing our job or whatever it might be.
Yeah, man.
We all go through storms. And just because we follow Jesus doesn't exempt us from that. It doesn't mean that God's abandoned us because we're in the midst of it either. What a storm does, it simply reveals what it is that's holding us up. It reveals our foundation. Is it on rock, as Jesus says, or is it on shifting sand? Yeah. You probably have seen pictures, maybe you experienced this kind of storm, and that is the power of a hurricane, right? Hurricanes can cause all kinds of destruction. There's flooding, and rooftops are blown off, and you go back, and it looks sort of like this, doesn't it? What's interesting is what's still standing, though. And in that picture, what's still standing? It's the palm trees that always stand out to me, you know? Amidst all the destruction, what do I see? I see a bunch of palm trees. And why did the palm trees remain? Well, it's partly how they were created. For one, their trunks are very flexible, and so they will bend with the wind. They also have aerodynamic, and I know this, aerodynamic palm fronds. And so when the wind blows, it looks like this. The wind blows through the palm trees rather than leave regularly, they sort of catch the wind and acts as it just puts more and more stress on the tree itself. But there's also something that you don't see, and that is there's not just one single taproot that palm tree is anchored into the ground, and instead there's a dense carpet of these smaller fibrous roots that create a wide and stable and base and an anchor for that tree. And why many times what remains after the storm, not always the buildings, but many times it is the palm trees. And the same is true spiritually in our lives. What happens publicly many times is determined by what's going on in private. And so when we're strong, because it's the prayers that nobody sees, or the scripture that nobody applauds, or the worship that no one notices. It's the daily acts of trust and obedience that form the roots and the foundation that sustains us when the storms come. That's one another reason why I love that Gene has a great illustration, because that tower can look pretty stable, until we remove another block, and all of a sudden it begins to wobble a little bit more. But it can appear stable there. But as you notice, pieces have already been removed, haven't they? And so it's already moving towards a collapse. And we can appear to be pretty stable, can't we? Or successful or whatever. While all the while, our foundational pieces maybe are being removed, being neglected.
Yeah.
Prayers or worship becomes occasional, or our integrity becomes flexible, or forgiveness gets delayed. We, rather than trust God, we put our trust in ourselves, even though we appeared to be stable.
Yeah.
Careers advance, we pay our bills, schedules are full. But you know as well as I do that appearances can be deceiving, can't they? A tower can be standing while at the same time be moving more and closer to collapse. That's why Jesus often challenged those who appeared in one way on the outside, but really were spiritually hollow on the inside. because the issue wasn't the appearance, the issue was
the foundation.
That's why in Jesus' story, it is the house.
Uh-huh.
That survives is the one that's built upon the rock rather than the sand. It's the one that is connected. It is the one that has this solid foundation. It's not standing on its own, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Our lives flourish when we are connected, when Christ is our foundation as well. Thinking about one of the iconic symbols of our nation. Find it in New York City. What do you think it is? The Statue of Liberty. Yeah, exactly. It is interesting in the history about that. It was a gift to us from whom? Remember, from France in the late 1800s. It was a gift to us. The statue was designed by, obviously, a Frenchman, Frédéric Auguste Bartholdi, how you may closely say it, I don't know. But yeah, so it was this beautiful statue. And so what we see on the outside is this beautiful Lady Liberty, made out of copper, right? What we don't see is what on the inside. The inside, the internal, is an iron framework that's actually designed by Gustave Eiffel. Sound familiar? Yeah. A few years later, he's the one that designed and built the Eiffel Tower in Paris that you can see there. But no, what is holding this statue up is this pylon and this iron framework. That copper, beautiful copper statue is adheres to. You know, we see what's on the outside. What we don't think about is really what's on the inside. Kind of like our faith. The visible parts are only as strong as what's on the inside. That's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ."
Wait.
You know, Paul's not saying, "Hey, Jesus is a good foundation." He's saying, "This is the foundation." You know, a lot of things will promise us stability in life. You know, money or achievements or success or popularity or relationships. And yet, as we know, all those things can collapse. They don't always, but they can. They're blessings, but they can't always bear the weight. That's why they can't be our sole foundation. That's why our identity cannot be built upon those things. That can't be. That's why Jesus says, "I am to be your foundation." So when the storms come, and they will come, yeah, those will not cause the collapse. Those things will not define you. You may bend, but you're not going to break. You may agree, but you're not going to lose hope. You're going to struggle and suffer, yes. But here's the thing, you don't stand alone because you have this internal framework, this foundation. Right? That you didn't feel that's going to remain with you. And that's Christ. You know, we celebrate the founding of our country, you know, this weekend, and all the freedoms associated with it, and all of those things are, you know, all these wonderful things, things that we should be grateful for regardless of who's president or the politics or any of those kinds of things. But we also need to remember that, and you know, we have a deeper freedom. Mm-hmm. The freedom that comes, that Christ offers us, things, you know, something that, you know, a government can't grant us, circumstances that can't, you know, take it away. You know, we can be have all these freedoms that we enjoy in this country, but we can still be imprisoned. Resentment, unforgiveness, anxiety, fear. Maybe it's the need to prove ourselves. That's why Jesus' freedom is different, because it's the freedom that's rooted in grace, rooted in forgiveness, rooted in knowing that whatever storm comes our way, it doesn't have the last word. Because this is a freedom that will last. You know, ours in this country has lasted for 250 years, and we should be grateful, and we should celebrate that. There's still no guarantee, is it? This is a freedom. Christ, the freedom we find in Christ, is not dependent upon politics or presidents or parties or even laws, because it's built upon Christ. So again, the question becomes, what is holding you up? What is your life rest on? And have any, you know, foundational blocks be quietly removed?
What?
I mean, are there habits that once anchored your faith that have, you know, slowly maybe drifted away? Are you building a life upon convenience or obedience? Trusting Christ or simply adding Christ to an already very full schedule or crowded life? You know, in the game of Jenga, the game is over when the tower collapses. Acts, game over. The good news of the gospel is when collapse happens in our lives and maybe our tower falls, Jesus doesn't walk away. What does he do? He begins to rebuild, redeem us, heal us. But it's a little bit differently because he starts with the foundation. Not the appearance, but the foundation. Not with the outward structure, but the internal framework. That begins with what truly will hold us together. And so this Independence Day weekend, perhaps the most important question is not how free we are, but what is our freedom built upon? Because again, when the storms come, the strength of our lives is not going to be determined by how high we've climbed or our achievement. It'll be determined by the foundation that is beneath our feet. And as Jesus says in this story, is that the rock, the Christ, me, or is it sinking and shifting sand? Let's pray. Gracious God, we do. We give you thanks that you are indeed our rock, and that when everything around us can feel uncertain and we can be filled with anxiety and fears and all those kind of things, Lord, you remind us that you desire to be our foundation. So search our hearts, Lord, and reveal the places where we have maybe removed some of those blocks. We've trusted our own strength rather than you, O Lord. Maybe the habits or the disciplines, those things that maybe have drifted away, Lord. So remind us that when the storm comes, when life can feel unstable, it is you and your love that will remain steadfast. So as we celebrate this Independence Day weekend, remind us, Lord, that the deeper freedom is always found in you. This freedom that frees us from guilt and shame and fear and the power of sin in our lives. So build us into a people whose lives is built upon your foundation, or grounded in your hope and in your love. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.